9 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. You know, the question of the day today, Teddy Bridgewater, now a Denver Bronco. Your reaction to the trade yesterday. Get your thoughts on that. Text or call us 970-242-1340. And joining us right now to start out the 9 o'clock hour, played on the Broncos Super Bowl 50 championship team, started on the offensive line for the Broncos. The show's coming up at 10 this morning on Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. Ryan Harris joins us. Ryan, it's been too long. How you doing, my man?
Jim, always great to join you, my friend. Always great to join you.
Let's talk about this deal with Bridgewater. Because I said yesterday, I said, I think they're going to make a trade for Teddy Bridgewater. How surprised were you? Were you that surprised? And just your evaluation of the deal. Because I think for George Payton, this is a fantastic deal that he was able to get Carolina to pay seven of the $10 million guaranteed to bring in Bridgewater.
Well, this is an A++ deal. And let me give you those three pluses. Number one, the sign of a good GM is pulling off a deal you didn't think was possible or available. Not only did he get Teddy Bridgewater, but he got the Carolina Panthers to pay for the majority of Teddy Bridgewater's contract, and he got Teddy Bridgewater at $3 million. If anybody's upset about a $3 million investment in a potential starting quarterback or backup quarterback, they don't understand football. Number two, this is a great deal when you consider the Broncos are also in the running to get Jimmy Garoppolo, which would have cost you not only the number 9 pick this year, but probably your first-round pick next year. So the fact that you trade away a sixth-round pick, which the best sixth-round picks in history for the Broncos have been Danny Trevathan and Matt Paradis, but you got a sixth-round pick, and you got a bona fide starter who just a year ago signed a $40 million contract. And talking to some people that are in that building at the Panthers, Matt Rhule has a very collegiate mindset when it comes to coaching football. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, with his expertise playing with Drew Brees, understanding the give and take that has to happen between a coach and a quarterback, I'm not sure Matt Rhule really appreciated that. And then number three, you got a player who already knows the offense. So not only did you got Teddy Bridgewater at $3 million, not only did you not give away two first-round picks, but you also got a player who has experience in Pat Shurmur's offense as they were together for a year in Minnesota.
And he's 28. He's 28 years old, and like you said, there's no way you're going to get a competent, capable starting quarterback in this league with the sixth pick in the draft you're not going to get comparable value with a sixth round pick for what you're getting with Teddy Bridgewater. They made out really well in this deal.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is just the David Thoreau's of quarterbacks. He's unsuspecting, but he's a champion. And by the way, 28's the new 15 in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks because of Tom Brady, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of I talked to a couple of coaches who said, hey, you know, there are, you know, we look at quarterbacks now as their prime time. Their prime, you know, winning seasons are ages 31 to 38. And you can thank John Elway for starting that craze, right? But it's interesting when you talk about a 28-year-old quarterback. I mean, that's literally in the NFL viewed as green as they come.
And like you said, there's an unassuming quality about Teddy Bridgewater. He's a quiet leader. He's a guy that, you know, has had to deal with, obviously, some challenging periods in his career. The knee injury in Minnesota, he was basically on the shelf for 2 years, goes to New Orleans. Drew Brees gets hurt. He wins 5 games, keeps them in the running to make the NFC Championship game. And in Carolina, it seemed like he was able to kind of tune out a lot of the noise. He didn't have Christian McCaffrey for a good chunk of last season as well, which obviously hurts. I just think everything I read about Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan, good community guy, very, very quiet, low-key guy, the perfect kind of guy to come in and challenge Drew Lock for this job, or maybe be the answer longer term, or maybe a mentor to somebody they draft tonight.
Well, and either way, you've made it a competition in that room, right? If Jimmy Garoppolo comes in as your quarterback, Drew Lock's in the backseat, who knows what that creates. But now you say, all right, you know, Drew Lock, you think you're improving? Great. But Teddy Bridgewater's going to come in here and push you. And oh, by the way, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, don't think for a second he's not going to call new retiree Drew Brees and say, hey, Drew, you mind swinging by practice and give me a couple of pointers on what you're seeing? And by the way, hey, Drew Lock, meet Drew Brees. I mean, those are things that happen in the NFL. And absolutely, Teddy Bridgewater's a leader. I mean, I talked to two players who played with him last year. They said they cannot say enough great things about Teddy Bridgewater, that they love him to death, that he had a lot on his plate, and that not only did they miss Christian McCaffrey, but that Mike Evans missed a ton of open holes in the run game. So he really was working with a deficient offense, maybe 85% of that offense unavailable because of Christian McCaffrey and the lack of running that they did have at that running back position. So when you make Robbie Anderson look like a star Pro Bowl receiver, yeah, he's a great quarterback, and Teddy Bridgewater will have success here in Denver. And either way, he's not going to be a distraction, which is one thing this team does not need.
Altitude's Ryan Harris, former Bronco, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So they make this deal yesterday. It's a fantastic deal for the Broncos. They're still at number 9 as of right now as we speak. What do you think happens at number 9 if they stay there, Ryan?
Well, the interesting thing is going to be whether or not San Francisco picks Trey Lance or Mac Jones. Now, a couple of reports have come out that they're in love with Mac Jones. I personally think, you know, Trey Lance is the best quarterback, not named Trevor Lawrence, in this draft. So if Trey Lance is there at 9, I don't see any way that the Broncos pass on him. Now, what's interesting is if Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, my number one linebacker, even though he didn't play last year, if he's available, I think that's the pick 100%. Also, you'll be able to, you know, trade back if you want to get the Butkus Award winner, best linebacker in the nation from God's University, Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So I look at those three picks as that kind of possibility for the Broncos at 9, or if the Broncos want to trade down to 12, 13, get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. But look out for the Broncos to get Kellen Mond in the second round tomorrow night. That's a player who I believe is very talented, got better every time he got to the field, played in a highly competitive league in the SEC. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't get a quarterback in this first round if Kellen Mond is not a Denver Bronco by Friday night.
And see, I'm with you on Kellen Mond. We did our little mock draft for the Broncos yesterday. I had the Broncos taking Kellen Mond. I really like the way he improved. He progressed. He's a tough son of a gun. At times he got the snot beat out of him at Texas A&M. I think he's a guy that could really develop into an outstanding starting quarterback in this league.
I do too. And really, at that second-round pick, you're just looking for more competition. Now, imagine a room, because here's the thing, Jim, and we talked about it. There were, you know, 5 or 6 quarterbacks who had no competition last year. You know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and this guy named Drew Locke. You know, like, who does not fit in that category? So now you've got at least Teddy Bridgewater in that room, and even if you get a Kellen Mond, you've got the competition that you really have at every other position on the football team. So, you know, it's already clear that the departure from Elway as the GM is not just believing in a guy and giving him whatever leash he needs, but you have to put some fire under that guy, and all of us perform better with competition.
Altitude's Ryan Harris, former Bronco, member of the Super Bowl 50 championship team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I still think that in this draft, they need to draft a tackle, still dress offensive line. I don't think you can ever have enough depth. You know that better than anybody, Ryan, about that situation. Yeah. And who's the guy in this draft that you like that you think might be a later round pick on the offensive line for the Broncos?
Well, I mean, I'm in love with Slater, the kid out of Northwestern, Rashad Slater. He's unbelievable. I think he's the best tackle in this draft. But, you know, if he's around, I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted him at 9. That's how good he is. But there's a guy from North Dakota State, Dylan Raiduns, I really like as well. He's a player that will give you some versatility. Didn't play against great competition, but has great punch, great footwork. Also look for left tackle for Notre Dame, Liam Eichenberg. He's a little bit stiff. It's hard for me to say about a guy that went to Notre Dame, but he's a little stiff, but he can play both right and left tackle. He'll probably be there in the second, if not third round. And George Payton said they want to get a tackle in rounds 1 through 3 or for sure 4 through 6. So look for some of those names coming across the board for your Broncos.
I know we haven't had a chance to talk since free agency and everything. Obviously, I think George Payton had a brilliant free agent period with Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby. All of a sudden, that secondary might be the best in the NFL with Kareem Jackson coming back, and we didn't think that was going to happen, and then getting Justin Simmons locked into a long-term deal. Along with what happened yesterday, I think just what continues to be A-pluses across the board for George Payton, right?
And not only has he made the roster better, he's made the locker room better. And just the way he handled Kareem Jackson, I mean, it's so hard. I mean, think about for you and I, Jim, we're both broadcasters. If our company was like, hey, we really don't want to pay you what you're worth, what we actually have you under contract for, but go ahead, test the market, and come back to us if you want. I mean, that's a very delicate situation, right? And,
right.
And for Kareem Jackson to come back and do that, it just shows how wide open the door was left by George Payton. So he's respecting players. He's paying Shelby Harris was huge. That's one of those moves that in the locker room, every single player now wants to be a team guy, because you proved at the front office that if you perform, you will get rewarded by the team you're performing for. And that's going to really benefit a guy like Bradley Chubb, Cortland Sutton, provided he's healthy. Signing Tim Patrick to that tender. These are things that really make a difference in the locker room. So George Payton not only made the roster better, but he made the locker room better as well in just a few short months.
And that's something that's come up in the past in terms of, and I'm not trying to, throw shade at John Elway or anything like that, but there was a feeling at times, I think from some veteran guys, that John wasn't necessarily wanting them to stay around and didn't sometimes maybe felt disrespected in how they were treated by the Broncos in that regard. And this seems to be, like you said, a change in, hey, Kareem Jackson, we appreciate you, we respect you, we can't pay you what we're going to pay you. Go someplace else. We'd still love to have you back and be part of what we're doing. The Shelby Harris situation, it just seems like George Payton's found a way to deal with veteran Bronco players in a way that allows them to feel like, look, you're still respecting me as a player and as a person, but I understand it's business and we have to move on from that standpoint. I just think the way he's dealing with some of the veteran guys has worked out really, really well.
Well, it really has. And there's been no secret in the NFL that when John Elway thinks that he's arrived at a number and you don't take it, he's not going to talk to you, anymore. So, I mean, you're talking to, hey, I love John Elway, but, I didn't even get a contract offer after helping win a Super Bowl. That's strange.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that have changed already in big ways that people can see. But those on the inside of the NFL, George Payton really has taken over in the most forceful but gentle way. I mean, he kept all the staff that he didn't hire instead of firing a whole staff and creating a new one. I mean, and that gives people confidence. And a lot of guys, both on the roster and scouts and in that front office were shaking in their boots, as everybody does when there's a new boss, right? And George Payton has retained talent and also retained respect of those he works with. And that's important to note.
We're talking with Altitude host Ryan Harris and former Bronco, member of the Super Bowl 50 championship team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Pro Football Focus, I believe they had the roster rankings after free agency. They had the Broncos as the sixth best roster in the league. Buying or selling that, Ryan, that they have the sixth best roster?
I mean, name me your sixth best food that you like. I mean, it's always so funny to me, when they get these lists. It's just like, how do they come up with sixth best? I mean, I guess you can wear that on a pin into the draft tonight, but
sure.
Nothing matters until you get a healthy roster on the field about nine games into the season. And that's going to be the big change. I mean, they moved on from Lauren Landau at the strength and conditioning position. So how does the new strength and conditioning coach prepare everybody for the season? I mean, Jim, I had a strength coach who said, my job is to train you for training camp. Said, you idiot, I got to play 16 weeks in the NFL. Like, there's no chance. Like, who cares about training camp? So that's going to be a big piece. And whether or not that roster can stay healthy, and I'm telling you as well, Jim, everybody is underestimating how the performance at quarterback was so detrimental to 4 to 5 wins last season, which puts you in the playoffs. So you get a 10% bump in performance at quarterback, and you are going to have a playoff-caliber team provided everyone stays healthy.
Ryan Harris of Altitude joining us in the program. Of course, the draft is tonight. We'll have it right here on the team. You were selected out of some college called Notre Dame, right? I think you've mentioned that a couple.
God's University.
God's University. I'm sorry. God's University. I want to get it correct. 2007 draft, the third round, 70th pick. What was that like for you that night?
Oh, it was just nerve-wracking. One thing people miss is that every single person in the draft tonight, they have no idea where they're going to live and work tomorrow, right? And so,
right.
You're so prepared, you're so ready. And for me, I was just saying, please not Buffalo, please not Buffalo. I grown up in the cold, I didn't want to do that. But, I was told I was going to go in the late first or second round, and the year that I got drafted was the year the first round went for like 4 hours. So I watched both Godfather movies, turned it on. It was like the first pick of the second round. And I had a neighbor that kept coming in saying, did anything happen yet? And I was like, all right, I'm getting out of here. So I was on my way to Dairy Queen to eat my feelings, and I got a call from my agent. He said, hey, Mike Shanahan from the Denver Broncos is going to give you a call. They're going to take you at the 71st pick. So I ran home, talked to Mike Shanahan, panting out of breath. My family's standing all on the porch. They're trying to ask, who is it? I can't talk about it. When I'm talking to Coach Shanahan, I hung up the phone. I said, we're going to Denver! And it was an eruption of joy. Just a confirmation of all the hard work I'd put in, and it's a moment I'll never forget.
Ryan Harris from Altitude Sports, former Bronco, joining us on the program today. All right, Ryan, we're going to get off the draft tonight. We did a little thing here a week or so ago. We decided to put together the cast for the movie about the Super Bowl 50 season for your Denver Broncos. And I wanted to run some of these casting ideas. Nobody could play themselves. Okay, so keep that in mind. So we had to bring in actors for everybody. We took a little liberties with some of these guys. Some guys look more the part, at least facially, than maybe physically match up. I mean, come on, it's the NFL. It's going to be tough to find, unless we use NFL guys, that's going to be tough to do that. So we cast, with the help of our audience, Josh Brolin as Gary Kubiak. Yes or no on
that? That's fair. Okay. Yes, that's fair.
Okay, very good.
Billy Bob Thornton gets a vote for me, but I like what the fans are saying.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, Texas boys, I get it. Yeah, that would work. Wade Phillips, we have this actor, Blue Deckard. Blue Deckard played a coach in the Friday Night Lights TV series, and he does bear a striking resemblance.
Looks a lot like him, yeah.
He looks a lot like Wade Phillips.
Okay, I like that. I like Willie Anderson. Is that the big comedian?
Louie Anderson.
Would Wade be okay with
Louie
that?
Anderson there. Yeah, but that's, you know, but the fans are right. Fans are always right.
All right. So for John Elway, we decided there was a lot of people that wanted Gary Busey to play John, but we picked his kid, Jake Busey, to play John Elway.
That'll make John feel a lot better.
Okay.
That'll make John feel a lot
good.
Better, yes.
Okay, a younger guy. Much younger guy.
Okay. So, the much younger guy. Okay, so, Peyton Manning. This was a challenge. He's like, well, why doesn't Peyton just play Peyton? Well, we can't have Peyton play Peyton.
Yeah.
We picked, you remember Fred Savage that was in the Wonder Years? That guy?
Yeah, Fred Savage.
His brother Ben in Boy Meets World. Ben Savage has the prominent Manning-like forehead.
All right. Fair. Okay. That's fair.
Emmanuel Sanders. We decided to go... Why not a guy just won the Oscar this past weekend?
Yeah.
Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Daniel Kaluuya to play Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep, that works. I'd also think Jamie Foxx, but Daniel Kaluuya works too. But Jamie, that's good. That's good. You guys are pretty good down there in Grand Junction.
Okay, good, good. Okay, so.
You say that,
and then we get to Brock Osweiler.
Okay.
The guy has a lot of acting cred here, okay? And he does look like him. Height-wise, Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies. He's going to play Batman soon.
Ooh, yeah. Didn't he play in Tenet, too? He was in Tenet.
He was great in Tenet with David Washington.
That movie, Tenet, by the way, unbelievable. Yeah, I'd say absolutely. Also, for those who don't know Brock, a little bit of Matthew McConaughey in him. So, but I'm down with that.
All right. Yeah, could have had McConaughey. Never thought of that. All right, just a couple more here. Demaryius Thomas, we picked Aldous Hodge, who played Jim Brown in One Night in Miami. Great, I think a really good actor. I think, City on the Hill, too, with Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. But Aldous Hodge is Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, you know, you could even go Idris Elba, Chadwick Boseman, you know, rest in peace. I mean, it's so hard to explain to those who weren't on that team how much of a leader, a jokester, and just a solid. He's the kind of guy that all of us would let date our sister. You know what I mean?
Right.
Demaryius Thomas is 100% awesome.
Okay, we got two more here. Von Miller. This was a lot of debate about Von. Who's going to play Von? And I'm going to butcher his name, but he played Black Man in the Aquaman film. He was in Watchmen as well. Really a talented actor. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. I know I probably screwed up his first name. But,
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but we thought he'd play Vaughn.
Yeah, you know, maybe a Tyrese kind of guy. If you think of like Fast and Furious, Tyrese is kind of that Von Miller, you know, just a... Hey guys, I love Von Miller, and he is so wild. It's awesome, man. He's just such a fun guy to play with. Really, really bad farts, though. Really bad farts.
Ryan Harris pulling back the curtain for us today.
Quite a bit.
On Von Miller. So finally, okay, we had a lot of others here, but we know you've got a show to do here in a little bit. We decided to cast you. Okay?
All right.
The guy that's going to play you in our film, Lee Jackson, who was the running back in Friday Night Lights, the movie, with Billy Bob Thornton. I know physically, okay. I don't think he's Ryan Harris size, but
he may have to hit up the Dairy Queen a few times.
He may have to hit up the Dairy Queen to eat his feelings, like you were talking about when you were drafted.
Yeah.
He might have to do that a little bit, but he does bear a striking resemblance to you, sir.
I like it. You know, I'm more of a rock kind of guy. You know, the people's champ. You know, I got the people's eyebrow. I've been doing it since I was 14, watching WWF Raw, you know, back in the day. But yeah, I mean, hey, the fans did a good job. Not knowing the characters deep down, not knowing what's behind that curtain. Good job. Good job, Grand Junction sports fans.
Well, hey, what? You know, if you really feel like it should be The Rock, I mean, this is you. You're casting. You can cast yourself if you want to, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the largest cost for actors to be the offensive lineman, you know, like the fifth supporting actor. So,
right.
You know, it's time we commandeer things as linemen. So I'll put a word in to The Rock for when you guys shoot this movie.
That'd Our budget just exploded.
All of a sudden, yeah, it's just out of control now. But I just feel like we're gonna walk away with a lot of awards. I think next year's award season, Cannes Film Festival, Golden Globes, Academy Awards. I think that we're just gonna be raking them in.
Don't let the orchestra start playing music in your acceptance speech. That's okay. All I ask. Be short and quick, and give knowledge. Give you know, give respect to the team, to the staff, and to all the producers like yourselves who made this incredible, impossible movie come true.
And I probably won't thank my parents for having sex, like Daniel Kaluuya did.
I think that's a good play, though. I mean, you can't go wrong. Who can blame you for that?
I know. I mean, if that doesn't happen, you know.
I mean, that's the genesis, I guess.
That's true. Yeah. You know, we all begin somewhere, right? And
we love origin stories, man. We love origin stories.
Yeah, we do. But kind of wrap it up. You've been doing well. Family good. Kids doing great.
Family's doing well. I've been doing a ton of corporate speaking, which is fun. You know, a ton of impact in that regard. So I'm just continuing to build skills. I'm learning how to speak Mandarin. I'm learning about coding. I'm tipping my, you know, reading a lot about the air and space kind of sector that's growing here in Colorado. And so I'm actually going to be down in Grand Junction in a couple weeks to do some golfing. So may have to swing by in the morning and say hi to you boys at the studio.
Sold.
You got it. Sold. We'd love to have you come by. Can I ask you where you're going to be golfing? Redlands Mesa?
Apparently there's a country club down there that a buddy of mine may have joined, which is the funniest comment I've heard all week. But I heard that if I drop your name, I get a free two-night stay at the Grand Mesa Resort. So,
oh, really? Well,
expect that bill if it's not free, Jay.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
on
it's
you.
Okay. I'll be prepared to probably pay for that bill. Bookliff Country Club, it sounds like. Maybe Bookliff Country Club, you're going to be going there.
Hey, let
me know. We would love to have you come in for a few minutes. It'd be great to actually, we've never met face-to-face. It'd be great to actually get to see you for the first time.
Yeah, our souls have been friends for a lifetime, but it would be fun. Thanks as always, Jim.
Well put, sir. Well put. Thank you, Ryan. Take care. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
See you guys. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos. Ryan Harris, Altitude.
Yeah. It'd be fun to meet him face-to-elbow.
Be fun. Oh yeah, that'd be great. It's like, well, he's gonna be over here. Well, that'd be fantastic.
I'm 5'8", so it wouldn't be face to face.
No, I'm.
He'd have to sit in a
I'm
very
a
low
more
chair
in Ryan's territory.
Yeah,
Ryan's like 6'6", in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Still 6'4" ish.
I'm much closer to 5'6".
Yeah,
than 6'6". Although you got that milk crate in there, that might help out a bit.
Yeah, you could probably
stand on
borrow that. Yeah,
for the picture.
Always enjoy talking with Ryan Harris. Always enjoy conversation with him. And we'll have this up on the podcast if you didn't catch all of it. Of course, the full show later on today. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have this interview up probably 10:30-ish this morning. All right. Ryan Harris, Altitude Sports. I think you liked most of the casting. I think you did,
yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back and we'll tell you who we think or how we'll play out tonight with the first 10 picks of the draft. As much as any mock draft is going to be anywhere close to being accurate.
You can mock our mocks.
Exactly. All right, so that's coming up next right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim Davis from the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Do you like the Teddy Bridgewater deal? We had Ryan Harris from Altitude on, former Bronco, loves the Teddy Bridgewater trade. Let's see. Broncos should get a rookie quarterback. Teddy has the experience. Lock and compete with an experienced quarterback in Justin Fields. Slice Trey Lance can learn, eventually come up with knowledge on the next level. I just don't think Drew Lock will be there if they draft a quarterback. I don't. Maybe they'll keep all three. There's some thoughts that maybe they'll keep all three, and then when training camp preseason rolls around, then there might be teams that will have a greater interest in Drew Lock at that point in time. That's a possibility.
Make things very awkward, which is fine for me.
I mean, that's a possible scenario, but I don't see them starting the 2021 season with those. If they draft quarterback tonight, Bridgewater and Drew Lock starting the season. Maybe like I said, training camp, maybe into the preseason. That's a possibility. But I think for the 2021 regular season, I don't think you're going to see all three guys there. I don't
think so either.
And it'll probably be Drew Lock who will be the odd man out if they draft a quarterback tonight, which, you know, remains to be seen. All right. Had good participation on the show today. Appreciate that. Lots of texts today.
97. Oh, not me. I thought.
No. I pay for your participation. Well, the company does. I don't personally pay for your participation.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not getting your money's worth.
Because if I was paying, well, I would have stopped a long time ago. The checks would have been canceled a long time ago. Payment denied many, many years ago. Thank you, Pyle, though, for texting.
Yes, thank you. It's a good week, actually.
To go from Corey. Hi, I'm a listener to the team every morning. Well, thank you, Corey.
Hey,
we
thanks.
Appreciate
Welcome
that.
Aboard.
I would like to invite you to watch my father-son mock draft for my son, Noah. He's 11 years old. This is our second mock draft. You can find it on YouTube under Father-Son Mock Draft 2021. Thank you. Yeah, I will go check that out later, Corey. I will. Thank you. It's going to be kind of fun. Your son, you guys going back and forth.
We should stack up. Who does better? You, me, or the 11-year-old?
Okay, I like that. Well, let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. Corey, we'll see you.
I have a leader in the clubhouse, and it's not me. It may be the 11-year-old.
I think it might be Corey's son.
It may be Noah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe Noah, who has that has the edge over both of us. Mm-hmm. All right, that's cool. I will check that out. I will. Thank you, Corey. All right, so we've got just kind of our top 10.
Yeah.
And your Browns as well. So, you know, we did our complete Bronco one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so today.
We should have done 3 through 12. Because we know who 1 and 2 is going to be.
Right, but we'll still do 1. We'll still do 1 and 2. Okay. So we start out with the first team on the clock. Urban Meyer. Your guy, Urban Meyer. Yeah. And the Jacksonville Jags. Trevor Lawrence, right? I would love it
if he drafts Justin Fields. Just for the hell of it.
Just to screw everything up. That'd be great.
Can you imagine the chaos? Cleveland may burn down again if they draft Justin Fields, just from all the chaos.
Right. But we're in agreement there. It's going to be...
Yeah, it's Trevor Lawrence.
Number 2, the Jets. Zach Wilson, BYU quarterback, right?
I think we're there, too.
Number 3. Now that the Niners have traded up there at number 3.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be Mac Jones. It seems like all the indications are Mac Jones.
That's what I think. And it goes back to, I've been hearing for about the last 7 or 8 days that Mac Jones is Kyle Shanahan's type of quarterback, to where if you run the play how I draw it up, it will work. And Mac Jones is the most of that guy out of really any of the 5 quarterbacks.
So I think we both feel it's going to be Mac Jones.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe Trey Lance, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Maybe Fields.
If it's not Jones, I think it's Fields.
I do too. I know Ryan really likes Trey Lance a lot. Ryan Harris, who we had on. I'm just not as sold on him. I'm just not. Falcons, if they don't trade out of the 4th pick, I think a lot of people, including guys like Daniel Jeremiah, they think it's going to be Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida. Give Matt Ryan another weapon to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to make a lot of sense. I think it's going to be Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, what they should do and what they will do are two different things. Their defense is not very good. Kyle Pitts added to that offense. They're just now going to lose 38-35.
Right.
But I think they're going to take Kyle Pitts because he's the closest to a sure thing in this draft, I think.
Now, there's a lot of debate on what the Bengals are going to do.
This is where the intrigue really picks up.
Because, see, we asked what Ryan Edwards, Broncos Country mm-hmm. Tonight, which team in the top 10 is the most likely to screw it up?
And it's always the Bengals.
And it's the Bengals, and he didn't even hesitate to say that. There's been a lot of talk about it, you know, getting the band back together from the LSU National Championship season, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I tend to think that they're going to look at protecting their investment. And that means you draft a tackle, and that means Penei Sewell, Oregon, yep. is the guy that is that I think that they're going to take.
Absolutely. You can find a guy to catch the ball. But if you can't get rid of the football, it doesn't matter who's going to be catching it. Ja'Marr Chase can be running wild and free through all parts of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. If Joe Burrow's also running for his life, it's not going to matter. I think it's Penei Sewell.
See, and I think, you know, T. Higgins will improve. I mean, mm-hmm. I just think that they need... They understand that they've seen that Joe Burrow has the ability to maybe get the Bengals yeah. out of this rut that they've been in.
This malaise.
And
they will get a good wide receiver this weekend. I don't think it's at number 5. It should be. Let's put it that way.
Right. So now we move on to number 6. Is it Ja'Marr Chase? Is that where Chase goes?
I think so. That's who I have.
More weapons for Tua?
But I've also seen, you know, you talk about that getting the band back together for Burrow. I've seen that for Tua as well. But is 6 too high for your Waddles, your Smiths? You know, is that maybe too high for them? I don't know, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is going 6 to Miami.
All right, 7th. Once again, we're not, no trades. We're just straight up who we think will go. Number 7 is the Lions. Is that where Jalen Waddle falls? I think that that's where Jalen Waddle. Maybe it's, you know what? I have Waddle / Smith on here.
Mm-hmm.
They might go with the Heisman Trophy winner here because it's the Lions. And they don't always do, they're kind of like the Bengals, don't always do the right thing. Not that I think Smith is a terrible player. His size concerns me. But I could see them taking Devontae Smith at this spot.
The best player available left at number 7 may be Micah Parsons out of Penn State.
And could that, and so you're thinking
that's what I think Detroit, that's most of these are what I think they will do. That's the one I think they should do.
Right.
Is Micah Parsons at 7 to Detroit.
I think at 8 for Carolina, we've talked about maybe they'll draft a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
that debate. I think they do recognize what the major weakness is, and I think they want to give Sam Darnold the opportunity to be this team's quarterback. And I think it's Patrick Surtain at Alabama. I think they try to start rebuilding that defense for Matt Rhule.
I think they also try to help out Sam Darnold, not by giving him competition or weapons, because we talked about with Teddy Bridgewater, they had weapons. They almost had 3,000-yard receivers, and Christian McCaffrey was not one of those. I think they take Northwestern's tackle, Rashawn Slater. What's the one thing Sam Darnold just did not have at all in New York?
Didn't have great offensive line play in front of him.
He made plays, but he was also like Joe Burrow, running for his life. If you can give him some protection, he might be all right there with your skill set. Yeah, their defense needs some work, but it's like the wide receivers later in the draft for Cincinnati. I think you can build there with value and quantity. But I think Rashawn Slater is the guy you need at number 8 if you're Carolina.
So we get to number 9. Now, yesterday on mm-hmm. my mock draft for the Broncos, I had Christian Darrisaw, Virginia Tech offensive tackle, but I also had the Broncos trading down with the Bears to number 20 to get an extra pick in the second round, I believe.
I had Trey Lance going because I thought it was going to be a development type of campaign.
Right.
And I had to change courses.
this morning.
But I'm going to say if the Broncos stay here, they stay at 9. I'm going to switch on what I said yesterday. In light of what happened yesterday, it doesn't change it a ton, really. But I just kind of think Bridgewater now looks to be the guy they hope will be the placeholder, the mentor. And I think if Justin Fields is there, I think they take Justin Fields.
That's who I have. And it hurts my heart, hurts my brain. But
there won't be any little point where you go,
nope.
Way to go, Justin.
You're dead to me at that point.
Come on.
If you're Justin Fields, I'm sorry.
Come on.
I mean, that's the way it is. You know? Hey, who was that guy that don't remember? Man, whatever happened to him? And anyway,
hopefully he'll be the guy that beat your Browns in the playoffs. Hopefully he'll be that guy.
Maybe that's Drew Lock. You never know.
Maybe
no, that's not Drew Lock. Sorry, that was very funny. I have Justin Fields in 9.
Okay, so number 10, Cowboys. I think they'll go corner. I think it'll be J.C. Horn. A corner the Broncos really like, too, by the way.
I think they go corner as well, but I think they go with Patrick Surtain, the second out of Alabama.
All right, and then for your Brownies.
Yeah, number 26. What am I going to do hours?
I'm not so used to I'm not used to scrolling all that way down.
Usually we've done their mock twice in the top 10.
Exactly. Who do you have? Who are they
going
to take?
I think they're going just down the road a little bit. They're going to Notre Dame. They need help. They need some help defensively. Both in the middle of the line, getting rid of Sheldon Richardson. I've seen Christian Barmore here. But I think they go with Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa, the linebacker out of Notre Dame. Who Ryan mentioned. And wonder why he likes him so much. You know,
went to God's University.
Went to God's College. Yeah. Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa.
I'm going to agree with Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network. I think it's Jamin Davis, the linebacker out of Kentucky.
I've seen that too.
Gives him some speed, athleticism. Your team doesn't have a lot of holes.
Not really. Let's
be honest about that, which is weird to say.
Yeah. If they get their LSU injured secondary pieces back the last 2 years, Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit, they'll be good there with Denzel Ward on one corner. They have plenty of edge rushers. You know, linebacker's a little bit of a weak spot. Offensive line, good. Skill position, good. Quarterback, fine. Running backs, great. Yeah, they just need that second level defensively.
All right, let's quickly get to this day in sports history. Just a couple here. 1970, the Lakers' Jerry West, the logo, hits a 60-foot shot at the buzzer to send the game to overtime. Lakers in Game 3 of the NBA Finals against the Knicks. Knicks outscored the Lakers, though, 9-6 in overtime for a 111-108 victory. I believe that was, the year of Willis Reed and limping onto the floor to help the Knicks win the title. 1985, Tony Tubbs captures the WBA Heavyweight Championship. 1986, Roger Clemens sets a Major League Baseball record with 20 strikeouts. Struck out 20. Do you remember who he had that game against?
Was it the Jays?
It was the Mariners.
Oh, Mariners.
Struck out 20 Mariners. Also 1990, Pat Riley becomes the winningest coach in NBA playoff history. The Lakers beat the Rockets 104-100. It's Riley's 100th victory that puts him ahead of Celtics great Red Auerbach. And that's a look at this day in sports history. Coming up next, we'll go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
It's like an oval, so we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. For pricing and information, go to their website at montrosefordnissan.com. So we welcome in from the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred, J-Rod with me in the studio. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Kind of pleased with myself. I managed to pick a winner this week.
Congratulations, Fred. Well done. Well done.
Got lucky.
That sounded like some sore grapes there from J-Rod.
Hey, you know what? It goes, it's anybody's race. We said that when we left last week. It's anybody's race, and you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You called it.
And you won it by, half a car late?
Yep.
It was in close finish.
Yeah, Brad Keselowski, the overtime period took advantage of that to get his sixth win at Talladega, and his first win and his fourth top five finish of the season. Comes the ninth different winner in the Cup Series this season. So Brad Keselowski winning a wild and crazy Geico 500 at Talladega.
And not too surprisingly, at Talladega, we see some names in the top 10 that we don't see up there a lot. We've got, to Benedetto, we're kind of used to seeing him up towards the front, McDowell in third. But Kaz Grala, driving for Colley Motorsports, he finished sixth. Tyler Reddick up there. Cole Custer with a 10th place finish. And on the other hand, you got Martin Truex at 31st, Denny Hamlin 32nd, Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, all between 35th and 40th. So typical Talladega.
Yeah, you know, there's a total heartbreak for Kyle Larson. Didn't even get to race. I mean, three laps and blew the motor. And they said that, you know, they left the transport plate in front of the radiator, so nothing happened to the radiator and transport. Left it in, never pulled it before the race, and blew the motor.
And with a couple of two, three laps, it was overheated and killed it. So, yeah, that has to be a big disappointment.
You know, you bring up Kaz Grala. I watched a thing this morning on Colic Racing. Obviously, the bigger news coming later, but you know, they're going to go full time next year. But a part time team, they're only running 10 races this year, and Kaz brings it in the top 10. So that's a heck of a run.
Yeah, we could see AJ Allmendinger coming back in the Cup. He's been driving for Colic in the Xfinity Series, and he's one of the names being bandied about for them possibly on the Cup ride for next year.
In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Get pricing and information at montroseFordNissan.com. Just a couple of final things here to wrap it up about Talladega. You had Denny Hamlin, of course, your Cup Series leader, get the double penalty on pit road. The pileups that happened, Joey Logano flying through the air as well. But for Denny Hamlin, a costly double penalty on pit road.
You know, I think he was able to overcome that, and it's kind of funny because the teammates, we always talk about Talladega, Daytona, you got teammates, you got manufacturers that you partner up with to help you get to the front, and his own team car that he owns would not let him or help him during the race, and he was not happy.
Well, they said there are no teammates out there on there. I guess that applies even if you're the team owner. Talking about Joey Logano and that kind of scary crash that he had, you know, got airborne, and he was fine physically, but kind of a little bit shook by it, I think. And he was been talking afterwards about, he says he's going to be an advocate for change, as he put it, when it came to not necessarily the safety measures in the cars. You've done a whole lot with that in the last 20 years, you know, so you can walk away from a crash like that. He's talking more about just not having something like that happen in the first place, whether it's, you know, taking down the size of those spoilers on the super speedway cars or whatever it takes to where you don't get people, you know, getting the kind of runs that they're getting, the speed differentials, and you know, the aerodynamics where the car can get upside down if it gets out of shape. So he's going to be pushing for things in that regard.
You know, he's not the only one that's done this. I mean, we've seen the big crash with Newman last year.
Right.
You know, if we knew what to do with these cars, I mean, honestly, they keep putting these restrictions on them. We could put the restrictor plates. We put the taller spoilers. You know, I was watching a thing this morning, too. They put longer skirts on the rear of the car, so it helps with the aero, keeping them on the ground. You know what? I think they take away all of that. They bring back just straight carburation and let them run, because that way it gets rid of the packs. It gets rid of the drafting, so to say, of bunching them up, and it takes, I think it gets rid of this problem to an extent.
I think, yeah, the changes that they've made in the cars, it really has fostered this situation where you have, even late in the race, you have, you know, three wide, 10 deep, and these huge packs all running right together, and then that's when those kinds of things happen.
All right, I do want to mention this, because it starts this weekend with the race at the Kansas Speedway. It'll continue through the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte on Memorial Day weekend. It's the NASCAR Salutes Together with Coca-Cola, and they're going to highlight stories of service members from our military, from the local bases at some of those races. They partnered with the USO as well. So this is an opportunity for NASCAR to acknowledge our military servicemen and women.
Yeah, and as always, you know, NASCAR is a place for patriots, for all American sentiments, and they're not ashamed of that. I like that. I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, it's always cool to see the cars and the way they're decorated with the names and stuff, too. So I'm sure that'll be coming around, too.
do want to mention one other thing before we talk about Kansas coming up this weekend. NASCAR also, they've announced a 6-round format for the NASCAR All-Star Race in Texas. So that'll be coming up June 13th. So some changes for the All-Star Race coming up.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of along the same lines as what they're doing with the stage racing in the regular races. You know, the more times you have people coming around and coming to the flag and duking it out, then the more exciting it's going to be. So it's going to be pretty much nonstop action in this thing. Even though there's, you know, no points on the line, it's a lot of money and a lot of bragging rights.
Well, and it's kind of bringing back kind of a short track feel to it. I mean, you got, first 5 rounds, 15 laps. Round 5 will be a 30-lap run, and the final round will be a 10-lap shootout. So, I mean, kind of bringing back the short track crash of, let's rock and roll and bring back some excitement.
Right, and that's the way it should be for the All-Star. I mean, you know, you don't have these times where they're just riding around. There's always something happening.
Well, you know, and it says, you know, round 3, you're going to be totally inverted. So you could win round 2, and you're going to start dead last coming out of round 3. So there's going to be some fireworks, that's for sure. It'll be an all-star race in itself.
Are we going to see everybody slowing down at the end of the second round and coming across the line at about 40 miles an hour trying to be the last one? I can see that happening.
Oh, that would be interesting to see if that does happen. Probably not, but who knows. But this weekend, it's the NASCAR Cup Series race at Kansas at the Kansas Speedway. This Sunday, 1 o'clock our time, Fox Sports 1 for that. Some initial thoughts about Kansas coming up, Fred.
An interesting name for the race. Busch Beer, they decided to let the fans choose the name of the race. And some of the finalists were the Busch Latte 400, the Nectar of the Cobs 400, but the one they ended up going with, Bushy McBush Race 400.
Bushy McBush Race? I like that.
Bushy McBush Race 400. sounds like some of those fans may have been imbibing a little bit of the Bush product when they sent in the
entry. Perhaps so, a little too much of it maybe.
Well, and you got, you know, looking at the results of last year, the winner of the Kansas race last year was the winner of Talladega. So maybe he is the second person to win 2 races moving forward.
Could very well be. Keselowski is on the pole for this weekend.
All right, so predictions, guys. Fred?
Oh, gosh. I'm kind of torn a little bit, but I think I am going to say Kevin Harvick. He's won 3 times there at Kansas. He's been running pretty well. He's about due to bust one, I think. I think this would be a place he could do it.
It's not a bad pick at all, but I think Chase Elliott is going to be the one that's coming through.
What about you?
I think he's 4th right now in the odds. I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney.
Okay. I'm going to go with the little factoid you just rolled out. I'm going to go with Keselowski. Back-to-back weeks. Why not? We'll see if... who comes out on top in this one? Once again, it's Sunday. It's on FS1 at Kansas Speedway. Once again, the name of that race, Fred?
It's the Bushy McBush Race 400.
It'll be interesting to see if he does win. If your Keselowski wins, it'll be interesting to see how much Bush beer he drinks when the light beer car is in victory lane.
Absolutely.
That'll be fun.
And I might have to go out and grab a 6-pack just in case he wins this weekend to hoist one up to him if he wins. All right, guys. Appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much.
One more thing.
Oh, sure.
Jim.
Go ahead.
Can't let it go without mentioning Dale Earnhardt's birthday. Would have been 70 today.
Oh. God rest his soul. One of the all-time greats. Hey, Fred, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. NASCAR Fred and J-Rod brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Make sure you join us next week, 9:40. For another edition of In the Garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by our friends at MontroseFordNissan.com. Get pricing and information at MontroseFordNissan.com. All right, that's our show for today. I'll be in with Katie tomorrow. Brian Bristol, the coach of the Plateau Valley football team, will join us. They have the playoffs starting this Saturday. Yes, I know it's weird to say that. High school playoff football this weekend. We'll talk with him on tomorrow's program. Join us tomorrow at 7.